The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
One of the most widely read conservative Christian writers in the United States. His name is Rod Dreher. Rod is senior editor at the American Conservative and author of the book The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, which explores ways that Christians pass on faith in societies where they once were the majority but are now in the minority. And he's in Ireland to speak about it. He'll be speaking at the Iona Institute event tonight at 8 o'clock in University Church on St. Stephen's Green. Rod, good morning and welcome to the programme.
It's a pleasure to be here, Pat.
Now, your own personal journey, you became completely disenchanted, and that's probably too mild a word, with the Roman Catholic Church.
This is true. I was an adult convert to Catholicism in my early 20s, had become very, very passionate about my faith, and thought that my faith would be solid if I had all the arguments straight in my head. And then as a journalist in 2001, I began writing about the abuse scandal in the church. I went to some very, very dark places, Pat, with that. But I always told myself that, the sins of men do not negate the truths of the church. But I finally couldn't handle it anymore.
I mean, you have spoken and written about the extent of the sexual misadventures of prelates. And it really is shocking, the depredation.
Oh, certainly. I knew about Cardinal McCarrick in 2002, but I couldn't get anybody to go on the record to talk about it. Yet I had to watch McCarrick on national TV talking about how he was going to get to the bottom of the scandal. But in the end, I lost my ability to believe as a Catholic. But I have to own some part of that myself. As a Catholic, I was so prideful and so intellectual in my faith. And I set myself up for this fall because I trusted the institution more than it ought to have been trusted. I became an Eastern Orthodox Christian not because I thought Orthodoxy was free from sin. I think no church is free from sin, but because it was the only way I could stay a part of the ancient church tradition.
You also say that one man anticipated, if you like, the demise of the Western Church, and that was the man who became Pope Benedict.
Oh, it's extraordinary, and he's a real hero of mine, even though I'm an Orthodox Christian now. In 1969, Father Joseph Ratzinger wrote or made a broadcast on German radio in which he said the church was already in crisis. It would lose its power. It would lose its status. It would lose a lot of its people and be reduced to a small minority of true believers. But those believers would be the seeds that would cause a rebirth in the future.
Was he addressing, do you think, the sexual scandals of the church in those remarks? I mean, was he aware of them? Because, as you know, he himself was accused of cover-up.
Yeah. I don't think at that time he was necessarily talking about sexual abuse. I think he was talking in a more philosophical sense about the de-Christianization of the West, which anyone could see coming back then except those who are totally optimistic.
There's a term, a la carte Catholicism, and that seems to be at the heart of your, I suppose, dismay at the way that the church has evolved, that easy living, no tough rules to obey, seems to have been the way the church has gone.
Yes, it's become what they call moralistic therapeutic deism. It's a feel-good pseudo-Christianity that affects all the churches in the West, not just the Catholic Church, Protestant and Orthodox churches too. And it goes along with the radical individualism and consumerism that has come to characterize our society.
The origins of that, though, I mean, in the United States, it could be argued that religious zeal has reached an all-time high in certain quarters. I mean, you have this right and left, you know, the liberals who believe in nothing and the conservatives who have a very traditional view of God. But you are also critical of some of their antics.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is my tribe we're talking about here. For so long, religious conservatives in my country have depended on politics alone to save us. For the last 30 years, we have thought that if we only vote for the Republican Party and get good judges in, things are going to be okay. In the meantime, we completely neglected to pass on the faith to the younger generations. I myself, as I told you, I thought because I was an intellectually convinced Catholic that everything was fine. But that wasn't the case. When I became an Eastern Orthodox Christian, I decided that I needed to spend a lot more time in prayer and contemplation and working with my hands and to try not to be the prideful, triumphalistic Orthodox that I was a Catholic. And this is what I say in the book, that Christians who want to hold on to their faith, all Christians in this post-Christian time, must spend much more time away from the world in prayer, contemplation, and community building, and put much less emphasis on politics.
The question of Christian communities, Catholic communities, Protestant communities, how is that to be restored? Because that seems to be at the heart of much of the nostalgia which Americans feel for the way things were.
Mm. Well, we can't have a false nostalgia. That's a dead end. The way things were, those times are not coming back. And in many ways, we should be happy that they're not coming back. Going forward, though, I think if we look back as far back as the 6th century and the founding of the Benedictine Order by St. Benedict, I think we can draw from the rule of St. Benedict some lessons for rebuilding small communities. I think the future of the church is going to have to be in small communities. Whether you're Catholic, Orthodox, or Protestant, there's not going to be a white knight riding in on a horse to save us from this fragmentation. But we have so many resources within the church's history, within the church's teaching.
A rule inspired by St. Benedict involve?
Well, St. Benedict came out of the city of Rome after the collapse and went out to live in the woods to pray and figure out how he could live a faithful life in community. He wrote this rule, which is a guide for living in a monastery. He said that in order to live faithfully, you needed to pray, put prayer at the center of your life, that search for God at the center of your life. You needed to study. You needed to work. You needed to live a life of balance. It's pretty elementary stuff. The thing is, Pat, we're not called to live in a monastery, lay Christians in the 21st century, but the spiritual disciplines, the ordinary spiritual disciplines that come to us from the rule of St. Benedict can be applied in creative ways to our lives and to our lives in community so we can be more resilient and more loving.
One of the planks, I suppose, of the conservatives during the last U.S. presidential election was that effectively Hillary, being a liberal on so many social issues, was the she-devil, and that they hoped that the right would produce a candidate that would be the antidote to that. I don't think, based on what you've said, that you find in Donald Trump the inspiration of St. Benedict.
No, that's fair to say. I expected Hillary to win too, and she didn't. And that puts us in a really different situation as Americans and as Christians. I think that since Trump has been in, the evangelical Christians have been extremely supportive of him, and the Christian voices who have been more critical of him have gotten much less attention. But they're there. I believe, though, that what we're seeing in the Democratic Party with the more militant secularism and anti-clericalism is driving a lot of Christians who normally wouldn't support Trump and would even vote for a Democrat who wasn't so hostile to the faith. They're driving them to Trump. You've seen just these past 2 days this debacle in Washington where this online mob set up on these Catholic schoolboys who did nothing wrong. They were set up.
Well, I read the story and it appears that they did taunt a Native American. And they were criticized indeed by their own school
so
doing.
But Pat, did you see the whole video? I criticized them at first online based on a short video that was shown. But now it has emerged several longer videos that show that those boys are minding their own business. This man approached them. And I felt bad about having tweeted out a criticism of them because it was unfair. But the way the mob, the online mob has gone, they're just savage, these boys. Mm-hmm. They've published their addresses. But this is the reality. And this is the reality.
But this happens on both sides, in fairness, that when one side is offended, they take to social media and demonize the other side, left and right.
Yeah. The point I want to make, though, is this is the new reality we're living in. And because these you know, white male Catholics who taunted an elderly Native American. That was the official narrative. It wasn't based in reality, but once that got into social media, suddenly the mobs form. And this is something that Christians, everybody's going to have to learn to live with it, but it's going to come down very hard on Christians.
The whole idea of the United States, though, in you know, founded in God we trust, written on the banknotes and so on, but still, the model has been secular.
Right.
I mean, you don't have God in the classroom. You depend on the family, too, and the local church to pass on values. There is that thing, render unto Caesar what Caesar's and unto God what is God's. I mean, is there anything wrong with having a secular state where people are free to worship as they wish, to and in whatever faith they wish, and, you know, let the running of the government leave that to the secularists?
Yeah, that's the American model. That's the model I support. I'm a strong believer in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and religious liberty. But leaving political power out of it, because that can be such a distraction, we still have to pass the faith on to our kids. We still have to live the faith out. And that is not happening.
Is that not happening?
Because people are so consumed by the
consumerism,
of life. Consumerism, radical individualism. They think that if they send their kids to a Christian school, they go to Mass on Sunday or maybe not every Sunday, that everything's going
to
be okay.
Do you point to any particular moment in American history or in world history, in church history? You know, was it Vatican II? What brought about this change, or was it the swinging 60s?
No, it goes back much further than that. I would say even to the Enlightenment, when we as a society gave up the idea of belief in God, of a transcendent God as a ground of our morals, and tried to fill in the gap with reason alone. It didn't work. I mean, many wonderful things came out of the Enlightenment, but we now find ourselves in a time of great fragmentation outside the church everywhere, and we don't know how to put things back together. This was the point of view of Alistair MacIntyre, a great philosopher, who wrote a book in 1981 comparing our time to the fall of the Roman Empire in terms of chaos.
In a sense, though, are the chickens coming home to roost? I mean, we had when the church in Western Europe was the dominant force, and it exploited its power in the Inquisition and other persecutions in terms of social attitudes in this country, the abuse scandals and so on, which are replicated all over the known world. I mean, is that the case, that abuse of power has led us to this point?
That's part of the story too, but we have to remember, look at the 20th century, the great wars, the persecutions. Neither the Nazis nor the Soviets were believers in God. You know, they were part of a pagan religion or a religion of so-called science. This is human nature. You know, we are savage in our nature, and civilization is a lot more fragile than we think. What I claim in my book is that we are going through very difficult times in the West, not just in the church, but we are seeing so many barriers fall. We're seeing things that we thought were permanent dissolve before our eyes. The Benedict Option is a call for Christians to take responsibility for ourselves and work out ways to live in resilient community together to make it through hard times.
Well, the book is actually called that, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. The senior editor at the American Conservative is its author, Rod Dreher, and he'll be speaking at the Iona Institute event tonight at 8 o'clock in University Church, St. Stephen's Green. Rod, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure.